Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I do want to say it is so good to see our college students returning. Glad you're here. We've missed you this summer, and we're glad God has brought you back. This Wednesday is our first college meal. Is that right, Brother Kelly? 5 o'clock this Wednesday. Come as a college student and let us feed you physically. Brother Kelly's going to bring a message in the college night that will bless you. He will feed you spiritually. And want to invite all our college students to come be a part of that this Wednesday night. You'll be glad to know, Michael said that, Brother Michael and I were talking before church, and he said that he was worried about me because he knew how my weeks went. I intended Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 22. That's what it was at the first of the week. And then I got to Thursday and I cut it down to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Then I wasn't satisfied and came back Saturday, as I often do, and I cut it down to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, I told Michael, that shouldn't worry you, that should bless you, because you didn't want me to cover 22 verses in one sitting. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 is our focus. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? This one verse, a living sacrifice. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful Word. Thank you, Lord, that it's so simple that a child can understand and so deep that even the greatest scholar can never get to the depth of understanding your entire Word. And now I pray, Lord, that you will bless us in this study. Open our minds and our hearts to you. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May be seated. A living sacrifice. Boy, that just sounds good. This is a verse that we've all been raised up in. We've known since our childhood. This is one of the verses that we learn just almost as much as we learn John 3:16, right? And so we should know every detail about this verse. However, I wonder if we don't look at this and we just kind of breeze over it and say, yeah, living sacrifice, that's what I want to be. Yeah, sounds good. But do you know what it means? Well, that's what we're going to accomplish today, is figuring out what verse 1 actually means. And we start with a living sacrifice and understanding what the word sacrifice means. That's the first thing we've got to do. We've got to understand what the term sacrifice means, and it carries the idea of giving God something that is of value to you. I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to get it. A sacrifice is giving to God something that is of value to you. In the Old Testament, they were required to bring offerings, the best of their flocks, animals without spot and without blemish. And so that's what they would bring to be offered as sacrifices. And if you want to give God a sacrifice today, make a sacrificial offering, you cannot do that if you bring God less than your best. Okay? He expects, or He requires, the very best that you have. There's an old attitude among us Baptist ranks that how can we cut corners and how can we do things for the cheapest price and get away with the least effort? You often hear among our churches, well, that's good enough, or that'll do, or how can we do something for the cheapest? And you know what? God's not looking for cheap. God's not a cheap God. God does not want a cheap, valueless sacrifice. He wants you to bring something that means something to you, something that you value. Second thing we need to understand about sacrifice, a sacrifice requires all, not part. Now, if you go back again to the Old Testament system of sacrifices, you'll find that when they brought that sacrificial animal to be offered, guess what? They brought the entire animal. No one ever brought a leg, a neck, or a head. Sacrifice the parts of the animal. God, you can have the leg, but I'm going to keep the rest, right? No. That was not a sacrifice. They brought the whole animal. So Paul tells us to bring our sacrifice. He's not saying to bring a part. He's not saying that you are to spend an hour a day reading your Bible. He's not saying that you're supposed to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. He's not saying that you're supposed to spend the first 15 minutes of your day in prayer. I'm not saying any of that stuff. Why? Because God doesn't want a part of your day. He doesn't want a part of your week. He doesn't want even a part of your life. God is asking you to bring a sacrifice, and that is to bring all that sacrifice. And you know what that means? That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God wants it all. Brother Doug, are you serious? I'm absolutely serious. You see, that's what we live in, an age of convenient Christianity. And that's not the picture that's painted anywhere in the Bible. So let's review. So far we've learned two things. Sacrifice should be valuable. Don't bring God the cheap stuff. Second thing, a sacrifice should be whole. Don't hold back the best from God. Now let's talk about the sacrifice that He wants. Brother Doug, what does God want me to bring? Here you go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Oh, we can do better than that. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Your bodies. That's you. Here's the picture. Jesus died for you. Now He's asking you to live for Him. It's pretty simple, right? He's asking you. He says, I want you. And you know, we are called the body of Christ, right? Do you understand why Paul says, present your body a living sacrifice? It's because we are the body of Christ. The idea is we are the hands of Christ. We are the feet of Christ. And if the work of God is going to get done, it's going to get done through the body of Christ, you and I, who take our hands and apply them to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? See, that's what the body of Christ is, and that's what it Paul is alluding to when he says, present your body. You see, if the Great Commission's ever going to be carried out on this earth, it's going to be carried out because God's people carried that commission out. If the world is going to know the love of God, it's because of God's people are going to be demonstrating that love before the world, for all the world to see. That's why God says, give me your body. That's why Paul says, present your body a living sacrifice. It's because God has a job for you. God wants all of you, and He wants your very best. God wants you. Do you get that? You say, Brother Doug, okay, I get it. Present my body. Okay, Lord, here am I. My body is yours. Where are you going to start? How are you really going to do it? I'm going to share with you. Well, actually, Paul shares with you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The next word, holy. That's one of those good religious words that we hear a lot, but we don't really stop and understand it. That word holy, it doesn't mean to be sinless. How many holy people do we have here? None. I'm going to tell you what it means, and then I'm going to ask you that question again. The word holy doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean sinless. It means to be dedicated to God. Period. Consecrated. Set apart for God's use. That's what it means. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean that you don't have a past. It just means that, hey, I'm dedicating myself to God. How many holy people do we have? Okay. Now, boy, we grew. There we go. That's what the word holy means. Set apart. Dedicated. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you're going to have to dedicate yourself to Jesus Christ. And the reason, so often today I hear coming from Christians, you know, when you ask them, can you do this? Will you fill this role? Will you do this job? And you know, the phrase I hear most often is, I can't commit to that right now. Brother Michael, you know what I'm talking about. You just came off servant surveys and filling things. You end up filling our jobs. I want to tell you something. Please give me your attention. The greatest problem you have in churches today is you have preachers who won't preach, deacons who will not serve, teachers who won't teach, and servants who will not serve. See, everybody thinks it's everybody else's job. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, it means that you're going to present yourself to God, set apart to do the work of God. Do you understand? God wants more than you just sitting in a pew Sunday morning. I'm going to say that again because you got to get on board with me here. God wants more from you than sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. That's not a living sacrifice. If this church is going to grow, it's not going to grow because you sat in a pew. It's going to grow when you dedicate and commit yourself to Jesus Christ, that you're going to do whatever it is that God wants you to do, that you have the attitude daily, Lord, my hands are your hands. Lord, my feet are your feet. You use me as it pleases you. That you hold nothing back. That's what it means to be a sacrifice. You see, you're going to have to stop looking to everybody else to serve and everybody else to do, and you're going to have to be that sacrifice. This should be the attitude of us all. Lord, do you want a preacher? Here am I. Here am I. Can you say that? No. Are you kidding? God might make me pastor churches. He just might. But He'll make you love it if He does. I will give you that insight. Lord, do you want a preacher? Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, do you need somebody to teach? Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, do you need a youth man? Do you need somebody to work with our teens? Here am I, Lord, it's me. Were you ever in school with that student who, when the teacher asked a question, was always had their head, ooh, Lord. That should be us. Lord, do you need somebody to take up an offering? Oh, me. Lord, do you need someone? Do you need someone to cook meals for the hungry? Oh, Lord, me. Do you need someone to visit the sick or call and check on those who we haven't seen in a while? Oh, Lord, me. That's what Paul's driving at. If we're going to be holy, we're going to have to say, Lord, I'm your guy. Whatever you want me to do, want a missionary to go to Africa? Lord, me. Are you ready to do that? Doug, I don't know. You see, here's the deal. You just not realized this is not your life. You were bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Lord, here am I. Send me. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. Bess sings a song from time to time that through the years, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord, to be closer to You. That's what I'm willing to do. And that's what I want to challenge Victory to be today. Lord, whatever it takes. You want me to teach? I'm your guy. You want me to work with college students? I'm your guy. You want me to work with junior high boys? No, that's too much, Lord. No, I'm your guy. Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'm your guy. Because I give You me. This is Your hands, Your feet. You're the head. You just command. Be holy, Paul says. Second thing you've got to be is acceptable. Again, verse 1. You see why I just stopped at verse 1, right? You'll be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. You know what that word means? Acceptable? It means to be pleasing. You could say it like this, holy, pleasing to God. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you're going to have to determine who you're living to please. Okay? Now, I understand there are men pleasers in the work of the Lord. I understand that. But you know what our biggest problem is? It's not that we're trying to please everybody else. It's that we're trying to please me, us, I, personally. You know? I want to please me. And I get into the mentality about pleasing me that it's all about me. I mean, after all, everybody comes here every Sunday morning to hear me, right? Everybody comes here every Sunday morning to see me. And everybody comes here on Wednesday night to minister to me. No. Bad news, Doug Hambrick, it's not about you. Y'all are not here to please me. I'm not here to please you. Who are we here to please? God. And it becomes so much more simple when we start serving from that perspective. I don't have to please God. I don't have to please everybody. I just have an audience of one, and that audience is God. So I've got to make Him happy. You know, it's sad that our churches today they're misinforming people. And it's all about, you know, having that mentality of, it's all about you. Bless your heart. It's not. Listen, if you want it to be all about you, I love you, but you're wrong. I understand. I didn't get any amens. That's okay. I made that statement for God, not for you. It's not about you. It's about pleasing God. Now you come to grips with this question. Is your sacrificial living today pleasing God? Are you everything God has called you to be? Are you serving where God has called you to serve? What all Paul is asking here is that we live with the motivation to please Jesus. You see, you woke up this morning. You had to decide, am I going to church? Decision. Go to church, don't go to church. Please Jesus, don't please Jesus. Which one did you choose? Well, obviously y'all chose please Jesus, right? Tonight you're going to have to make the same choice again. But what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? You know that your sacrifice does not end today, right? You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to go to work. And who are you going to work to please? Your boss? No. Jesus. Jesus. Yeah, Brother Doug, how am I living sacrifice where I work? You see, people where you work need to see an example of Jesus. They need to see what Christianity really looks like. If you're a college student, you're going back to college tomorrow. I want to tell you something. I love Arkansas Tech University, but there are people there, instructors there, and students there who need to see what a Christian looks like. You could be that living sacrifice. Just remember, you're living to please God, not yourself. Then finally, be reasonable. Be reasonable. If you'll notice the last line, let's read the whole thing again. Okay? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Literally, that reads your logical worship. First of all, Jesus died for you. Jesus saved you. He did what you could not do upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have everlasting life. Now, since Jesus died for you, doesn't it seem logical that you should live for Him? I mean, it's just practical. It's just the way it should be. And not only is that the way it should be, not only is it logical, it's worship. That word reasonable is logic, but that word service means worship. It is your logical worship. See, people go to church today and we say we're going to worship. You know you can go to church and not worship, right? I'm not saying you don't worship when you get here. I'm not. But there's been times I went to church and not worship. The idea here is Paul is saying the way you serve, it's not just serving, it's worship. It's worship to God. You see, people go to church and they expect to be motivated to worship. Brother Dale is supposed to motivate us to worship. You do realize singing's not worship, right? I can sing and be far from worship. Singing is actually a result of my worship. Does it make sense? I can sit in church all day long and just mouth words and it mean nothing. Oh, but when I want to worship God and it flows and it just fills me and it begins to overflow in my heart, that's when my voice is lifted up in honor and worship of God. You see, that's worship. That's what we're striving for. And not only is worship something that you sing, but do you realize that being a living sacrifice, that what you do, what God calls you to do, is worship. For example, right here, right now today, I'm not just preaching. I'm worshiping. Why? Because God called me to preach. And I'm God honoring God by fulfilling His call upon my life. There are people here at Victory Baptist Church who every week teach. They're not just teaching, they're worshiping. There are people here who, you know those people who every time you see them, they just make you smile, they're encouraging. They got a God-given talent of encouragement. They're not encouraging, they're worshiping. When you witness, when you tell somebody about Jesus, you're not witnessing, you're worshiping. Even the ladies who are keeping the nursery this morning, they're not keeping a nursery, they're what? They're worshiping. I hope y'all can hear me back there, ladies. Thank you very much. See, what I want you to say, we think when we gather like this, this is worship. And I'm not trying to take away from this environment. I love this environment. I want to worship and have that time of honoring God in this environment. But that's not all worship is. Worship happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Worship happens every day that you honor God's call on your life. That's what worship is. And my friends, that's reasonable. The truest form of worship is for you to present your body and say, God, I'm yours. These hands are your hands. These feet are your feet. Now you just send me, Lord, and I will go. I've been talking to church members today a lot. And I hope this message challenges you. It's not okay to sit and do nothing. You know that, right? It's not okay to sit and do nothing. You want to worship and you want to honor God, you do it by answering God's call upon your life. Now, I know that not everybody here is called to be a preacher. I'm very thankful that everybody's not called to be a preacher, because it'd be a lot harder for me to get a chance to preach if everybody were preachers, right? But God has a call upon your life. I'm going to tell you one more time. God has a call upon your life. You have a God-given gift to use for the kingdom of God. You want to honor God? Use it. Go before the throne of God. Lord, your hands and feet. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. You just command me, Lord, and I'll go. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you this. Jesus Christ died because you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me, that's you, that's everybody. You see, Jesus didn't want us to spend eternity in hell. Therefore, He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary, fulfilling God's call upon His life. And now, today, if you want to be saved, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very simple. Just ask the Lord to save you. Oh, Brother Doug, there has to be more to it than that. No, there's not. Because if there was more to it than that, you couldn't do it. Listen, if you're not saved, will you come during this invitation? We're going to sing a song in just a moment. This is for you. If you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, will you come? If you are saved, have you come to the point where, Jesus, I'm yours. These hands are yours, these feet are yours. All that I am is yours. I present myself to you today, a living sacrifice to do whatever, Lord, you want me to do. And I've said this several times, but I want to say it again. People get scared when you start talking this way. But I'm going to tell you what I know. You don't have to be afraid of God. God's not trying to mess up your life. He's trying to make your life better. Never does a parent that's worth his salt want to ruin his children's life. Never. The idea of parenting is to make them all they can be. You know? Same way with God. As a child of God, you have to understand God's not in heaven saying, "What's this? I'm going to ruin his day." God wants the best for you. Now, will you submit to His call and claim upon your life? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this reminder today. Lord, often we talk about being a living sacrifice, but we don't stop and really examine what it is. And so today, Lord, I pray that this message will be very real to this congregation today, and we will realize that we will realize, Lord, that we are Yours to command. And not only will we realize it, but we'll walk like it. Lord, move in a mighty way in this service. We just place it within Your hands. I pray for the lost that are here today that they would come to know You for salvation. If there's one, Lord, in this service who needs to be saved, I pray that they'll come today. In Jesus' name.